our life. James chapter number 4. Very familiar verse in verse number 14. James, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, asks this question here in verse 14. Then we get some answers. It's like the Lord. Lord asks a question and He'll give you the answer too. Amen. I like the Lord. Amen. Ain't like teachers at school. They ask the question, but they'll never get the answers. I always like that when you get one of those questions, you got the answers in the back of the book. We got the answers in the back of the book, amen. I like them kind of tests, amen. And the Lord asks a question and He gives some answers, amen. James chapter 4, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" You ever really thought about it? What is your life? Not your husband's, not your wife's, not your mama's, not your daddy's, not your children, not your siblings, not other church members, but what is your life? Yours. That's an individual thing. James says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor." One thing we know, that's what life is, "that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say," this is in the same context here, "if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So he's still talking about life. Verse number 16, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin." You know what our problem is a lot of times? We like to play stupid. And the reality is, a lot of things in life, we already know what we ought to do. You know, it's a no-brainer. But if we want to do something contrary to God, then you got to make it look like it's okay with you and God. And so a lot of times we just play stupid or dance around it. We're talking about our life this morning. My life before God. Your life before God. What is your life? Let's pray. Aaron, how about pray for us?
Yeah, Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for just being a good God, like it's been said this morning. Hey, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for letting us be in your house.
Yes, God, help us, Lord. Help you, people.
Man of God, this morning, help us to say something that we need to hear. Pray that you just speak to us. Help us not to just be hearers only, but doers also, dear Lord. Pray that you help what we hear today change our lives for eternity, for the rest of our lives. Thank you for just being good to us. Help us to hear what you got for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. May God change some lives today. James 4 and 14 says, "For whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." We don't know what's going to come tomorrow.
Right.
"For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." First of all, we see the question that James asked and the answer. He said in verse 14, "For it is even a vapor." Do you know that life is a temporal thing?
Amen.
You can be here today and gone today. Don't have to be tomorrow, amen. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, amen. Life is a temporal thing, amen. It's going to be gone before you know it. If you're going to do something, you better do it now. It's not only a temporal thing, but the answer here in verse 15, it's controlled by God. God knows what He's doing. Verse 15 says, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." Well, I'm glad God is concerned with the lives of mankind. I don't know why He is sometimes, why He'd be concerned with my life or your life, but amen, I'm glad He is. Our life is in the controlled hand of God, and God knows what He's doing to work all things together for our good, to accomplish His purpose in this life, amen. Life's temporal, amen. Life is controlled by God. And we also learn, according to verse 17, in our life, we shouldn't waste it. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. Don't waste your life away.
Right.
Hey, don't wake up one day and say, "You know what? I wish I'd have done something with that. I wish I wasn't playing around with my life and wasting it away while I was young. I wish I wasn't wasting my middle years away. I wish I wasn't wasting away the days of my strength when I had it, when I could have done more for God. Hey, if you're going to do something, do it now. Amen. Hey, what is your life before God? Do you know what I know about our lives? There's some things in this chapter here we can see very clearly when he asks the question about life and describes what it is and how it's controlled by God and how we shouldn't be sinning away. Before he ever gets to this subject here in this chapter, he deals with some things that our lives shouldn't be about. You know, it's amazing. We are, most of the time, they're consumed about the things that we shouldn't be consumed with. Do you know life should not be a life of hell raising? You know what most people's life is? What is their life? It's just hell raising. Yeah. Just raising hell all the time. Stealing, killing, drinking, and whoremongering and living like hell. Amen. Hey, that is not why God put us here. Amen. We know according to the book of Revelation, verse chapter 4, that God put us here for His pleasure, for His glory, to bring glory and honor to Him. Hey, the chapter says, hey, in the beginning of it, God said, I didn't put you here to hell raise. Amen.
Yeah.
Look in verse number 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust? That war in your members? God didn't put you here to hell raise. Hey, my lord, the hell raising going on in our lives because of the decisions we make. Hey, from our own lust, look in verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and destroy, desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Hey, God did not put us here to hell raise. Hey, you know what? The sooner you realize that about your life, the sooner you may begin on the right tracks with God and do something for the glory of God with your life. Hey, what is your life? He said it ain't hell raising. God didn't put you here to hell raise. God didn't put you here to live for your lust. Look in verse 3. You ask not and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Some people think life's just all about lust. Hey, what I can get, what I can obtain, how I can fulfill the desires in my heart that are wicked. He said, ye adulterers, verse 4, and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures say it in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy. God didn't put us here to live for our lust. God didn't put us here to hell raise our lives away. God didn't put us here to live in the pride of our own selves. Look in verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith God resisteth the what? Proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Look in verse number 10. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hey, God didn't put you here to live for pride itself. Just show who you are and toot your own horn, amen, and brag on yourself. That ain't why we're here. We're here for Him, amen. Hey, most people's lives are wasted away in the things that He describes in this chapter that we shouldn't be consumed with. And then He gets to the end of it and He says, hey, what's your life? Is it hell raising? Is it lived in your pride? Is it lived in the lustful desires of your flesh, just fulfilling it and consuming all you can get? He says, that ain't what life's about. Life's not to be lived in a life of resistance against God. Do you know some people all they do is just kick against God. Kick against God. Like God said about Paul over there, Saul on the road to Damascus. It's hard to kick against the prick, son. Hey, some of you, your life just steadily kicking against God. Just kicking back. God's doing this and God's doing that. And thank God, the sooner we realize this thing, that God is doing things in our lives to get us to Him and stop kicking against God and submit yourself to God, the better off we all going to be in our lives.
Amen.
Some of you just kicking. You're like a squalling youngin', amen, just crying and cutting up all the time and crying to get your way when you just need to quit trying to get your way and try to get God's way in your life.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
You're not here to resist God. The Bible said in verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you know what some of you, your problem is? You're just fighting against God. Now, that ain't the way you look at it. Let me tell you how the way you look at it. You fight against all the people in the church. And you got a problem with the preacher in the church. And you're fighting against everybody else. Hey, no, your problem is you're fighting against God. If the people God's put in your life trying to point you to this book and to live for God, you are ultimately fighting against God.
Yeah, amen.
God told Samuel, he said, hey, don't worry, son. They not rejected you, they rejected me. Hey, some of you think your life is just put in a kick against God. Resist God. Hey, quit fighting and surrender. Amen.
Amen.
What is your life? Is it hell raising? Many are in that category. Is it in living for your lust, just consuming what you want? Well, that ain't what I want. Well, your problem is your wanting needs to be fixed. Lust. Desiring to have. Killing to get it, amen. Pride of who you are. Resistance against God. Hey, some of you think your life's just to be a talebearer. Look in verse 11. Speak not evil one to another, of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if you will judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Some of you think your life is just to be a talebearer, just to gossip. Some people wouldn't have a life if they couldn't run their mouth. That's just sad to say. I hope you're not like that. But hey, somebody in here or listening on the internet that's got that problem.
Yeah.
Their lives are consumed with running their mouth about everybody and everything. Their life is spent 24/7 social media, trying to get the latest gossip of what's going on in Richmond County and all over the world. They spend their lives looking at Facebook to see what's going on in everybody's face. You're in everybody else's face. Facebook, amen. That's looking and gossiping. Hey, what does it matter what everybody else is doing? Why does it matter if somebody just took a shower because they got dirty? I mean, God help, amen. We just got to know what everybody's doing. No, you mean to find out what God wants you to do with your life. What is your life?
Amen.
Some of you spend more time on the telephone talking to everybody, not because you care about people. You just want to be in everybody's business. That's why people on the phone all the time are texting. Most people don't even talk no more. They text one another. You're just talking and gossiping and running your mouth. Want to know what everybody else is doing. Wasting your life away. Hey, mama, your house wouldn't be so nasty if you wouldn't be on tailman everywhere. You'd have time to wash the dishes and fold the clothes. God help, we are consumed with all kind of garbage. What is your life? It's not to be lived in selfishness. That's how he closed the chapter out. Hey, what is your life? It's a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. So we ought to say, amen, what is our lives? Amen. Hey, you know what? You know what it is? It's not what you think it is. He didn't say, what do you think your life is? He said, fool. Look at it with me. Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for you can underline it or highlight it, whatever you want, that little phrase right there. For what is whose? Your life. What is your life? If it's the other things that are consumed within this chapter, you have missed the purpose of your life. He didn't say, now, let me ask you a question. James said, now, what do you think your life is? No, he said, what is it? Because sometimes what we think it is not what it really is.
Right. Right.
Now, you can think so long, you even deceive your own self.
Amen.
I mean, some of you lie so much, you believe your lies. It's just the way it is. You tell it enough, man, you think that's the gospel truth. You have what the Bible calls deceived your own self. And when you get there, you're in a bad place.
Amen.
He didn't say, what do you think your life is? He said, well, what is your life? He didn't even say, what do you want it to be? You know, I believe we have some good desires of what we want our lives to be, some good ambitions, some good goals in life. But the question this morning is, what is your life? That's a present tense. Not what you desire it to be. What is it at the moment? Not what do you think it is, what do you want it to be, but what is it? Now listen, if it's not what it ought to be, today is a great day for it to change.
Yeah, amen.
For what is your life?
Amen.
You know what else he didn't say? He didn't say what did it used to be.
Right.
Do you know what some people's problem is? Their lives are all consumed on what I used to be. I mean, you all you ever talk about is, well, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and well, that's great. But James says, for what is your life? Not what it used to be. He didn't even say, what does others think it is? Because you know what? We can have others deceived, and we know our life's not what people perceive it to be. The question is, for what is your life? Let me say this. What's it been in the past? I don't think we should dwell on it and milk on it and sob in all the filth of the world that we used to live in. But what was it before salvation? Can I say this when it comes to salvation and being saved? Maybe somebody here is lost. You need to be born again. Do you know what? If you do not have a past life, you probably do not have a future life. Let that sink in there for a moment. If you don't have a past life, you probably don't have a future life. You know, some of you, what do you mean? But what I mean is your life always has been. Sarah, Sarah. You know, that's just been my life. That's what I am, what I always be. No, you better have a past life if you've got a future life in heaven. Amen. It must be a life that used to be. That's what the Bible calls being born again. Amen. There's a change. That's what the Bible calls 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, not in church, thank God we need church. Hey, but you need to be in Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hey, you better have a new life. You better have a past life if you want a future life. Amen. Has there ever been a change in your life? A past. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, right next book, right? 1 Peter 4. Amen. If you don't have a past life, you might not have a future, amen. There's got to be a change, amen. Hey, what did your life used to be before God saved you? Hey, thank God I ain't what it used to be. We might can say, rightfully so, we ain't what we want to be right yet, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. Thank God for salvation in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, 1 Peter 4, 1, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Now look at this, verse 2. That he no longer should live, we're talking about life this morning, live in that life, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, to the will of God. Hey, that's where our life ought to be, not the will of men, but the will of God. Why? Verse 3. For the time past of what? Our life. May it suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revilings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riding, speaking evil of you. Hey, thank God there's a past life, man. Hey, God moved into my life. Hey, what it used to be, amen. Hey, if you got a future in heaven, you got to have a past, amen. It's got to be a change in your life. It's got to be a day where you met the Lord and your life went from going this way to that way, amen. It went the opposite direction that it was once on. Thank God my life's been changed. Thank God I ain't going the same path I used to go. That path that was broad, that leaded to destruction. Thank God one day I met the Savior and He put me on the straight and narrow path and He gave me a past life that I've been changed from.
Amen.
Got to have a past if you're going to have a future. What is your life? Well, thank God it ain't what it used to be. After salvation, amen, God has saved you. What have you done with that life? What's been done with it? Maybe your life used to be good. Maybe you got a life where you used to serve the Lord faithfully. Some people, they used to be doing something great, and then they think, now I blew it, now I can never be used again. Where'd you get that mentality? You know what God says? What is your life? Right now. It ain't what it used to be. Well, why not allow God to make it good again? Why not put your trust in the Lord and let God make your life something right at the moment that you're living in? What is your life? life can be changed. God wants to change your life. Amen. Look in Philippians chapter number 3. God wants to change your life. Let me hit this before I go any further here. Hey, you cannot live in the past, but we can learn from it. Amen. If you're here this morning, if you've made mistakes in your life and it's not what it used to be, and we're not talking about what it used to be. I've already said that clearly. We're talking about what it is right now. But if you've got a problem with doing something right now because of the past, you've got to let the past go. You got to put it behind you, amen. You can't let your life be consumed with the past if you're going to go forward for God, amen. If you're going to do something now, you got to let that go. Right now, what is your life? Do you know what some of your life is? Some of you, your life is. It's all about that thing. That moment, that decision, that mistake, that episode that showed up in your life, and you're consumed with that, and now that has become your life.
Right.
And God didn't save you for that to become your life. God saved you to change your life from the past out. Forget the past after salvation and go forward if it's haunting you.
Right.
But some of you are even haunted with things you've done since you've been saved. And now that thing has become your life. Our lives should be becoming of God.
Amen.
What is your life? Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3. A man that had to deal with a past life himself. Philippians 3 in verse number 9. He says, and being found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Hey, God's making me what I ought to be, the young kid saying. Amen. Amen. He said in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Hey, I've been apprehended by God. God's taken my life and wants to use it for His glory.
Yeah.
Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot live in the past. We can learn from the past. But our lives need to go forward if we're going to do something for God, for what is your life. What is it at the moment? What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. This is my life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, right now, now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am to exercise faith in my life right now in the flesh. This is my life. I'm in the flesh and I must serve God with what I got. People say, well, you can't serve God. All you got is the flesh. Hey, that's what God's given me and I'm giving it back to God. And by His Spirit, through His power, we can please God. Amen. What is your life? Life is not lived in the past, but in the now. Paul said, now. I live by the faith of the Son of God now, right at this very moment. Amen. Hey, what is your purpose and plans for life? Hey, what is your ambitions? What is your desires? It should be to live and follow God. That's what our lives should be. For what is your life? Look in Matthew chapter 12. What is your life? What does God want to make out of our lives? What can our lives become for God? Many of you have made decisions to come to the Lord as your Savior. And been born again by the good grace of God. Some of you in here, you know you're saved. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. I'd be a fool to try. Hey, but if you are saved by the good grace of God, your life has been saved to be used. It's been apprehended by God to be used for His apprehension. God wants to use you for His glory. Hey, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him. Hey, God saved us that our lives can be used for Him. We're His vessels. We're to be vessels of honor, not vessels of dishonor. God wants to use your life. Your life. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Has God cleaned the slate? I'd wipe the slate clean, yeah. But once after salvation, after you've been born again, what have you done with it? What have you done with it? You know what some of you have done? You kept living for yourself. Other than the fact that you've been changed and the fact that God's moved inside of you and the Holy Ghost cleansed you from your sin, gave you some new desires to serve the Lord, you still serve in your flesh and fleshly desires over God. You never made any real choices to really dive in for God. Some of you just kind of on the fence. You ain't in, but you ain't out.
Right.
And I'm about to show you in a moment, you've seen this principle before, but maybe hope the Holy Ghost will make it real to you. If you don't soon get off the fence, you're going to fall off the fence. And most everybody that falls off the fence falls off the wrong side. You know, here's how, you just don't accidentally serve God. Well, I'm just going to fall into serving God. No, you're going to fall into serving the flesh. And some of you have not made a choice that I'm in for God. My mama's in for God. My daddy's in for God. And some of my brothers and sisters are in for God. But what about you? Because the question this morning is, what is your life? Where are you at? Well, my wife's in. That's great. What about you, husband? Well, my husband's in. Well, what about you, wife? Where are you at? Well, I'm just kind of, you know, no, that ain't going to work. Hey, what is your life? Look in Matthew chapter number 12, verse 43. The Bible says this. Matthew 12 and 43. The Bible said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man... That's what God did when He saved you by tight, cleaned that filthy spirit out. He walketh through dry places and seeketh rest and findeth none. Do you know the devil ain't happy that you're saved? It's a good principle here. God moved in to clean the house. Look at the Bible says in verse 44. Then He said, that devil that seeketh rest, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Hey, some of you got saved, God cleaned you out. Thank God He cleaned you out. And I know the application here, but there's a good principle here. Hey, the house has been cleaned out. It's swept and gone. It's the Holy Ghost is there. God's there. But you know what? We ain't furnished the house with nothing to be used for God's glory. And so when the devil comes back, he said, amen, here's a house that ain't got no direction. Here's a house that's void. It's not against. It's not for. It's just kind of on the fence. And what the devil does to a lot of people, they never decide to get purposes in their life to serve the Lord after God saves them. And they ride the fence long enough that the devil comes by with a new trick and a new desire. And he moves in and we go back to where we used to be.
Right.
Look what he says here in verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with him self, seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. Here's your two applications for that verse. Number one, it's a lost person. They didn't get saved. Got a little deliverance for a little while. Holy Ghost dealing with you. Some of you lost people here today or maybe watching, you've had this kind of experience. Hey, man, where you got around church and around preaching, you knew that's what you need because the Holy Ghost made it real to you, but you didn't make the choice to choose God. And so you decided, well, I'm going to clean my house up. I'm going to get saved, preacher, but I got to fix my drinking and my drugging and my hell raising and all the things that I know that's between me and God. And you go and sweep it out, clean it out, and work on it. Hey, till you work yourself to death and can't clean it up enough for God to want to dwell there. And you work, and then you go for a couple of weeks and go in and out of service, up and down, never really nothing real, never no real Holy Ghost conversion and change, just some cleaning up, right? And the devil says, hey, boys, y'all want to go to club tonight? Hey, you ought to go over here and you get tempted by that, say that old wicked crowd that comes right with more influence, and you finally say, well, I can't live it nohow. I can't change it nohow. And the devil comes back and you end up worse than you were in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, a little space of grace would seem like there was a little chance. Well, that's how God works. The Holy Ghost would really... Listen, if the Holy Ghost ever convicts your heart to be saved, the best thing you can do is run to an altar and say, God, I can't save myself, save me. I can't change myself, change me. Hey, if it's going to be done, it's going to have to be you. I ain't going home to try to fix it today and try to draw this thing out. I'm just going to come and fall on the mercy of God. And the God have mercy on me, a sinner, and God will save you. God will fix all that other stuff. What you're going to find, you're going to try to do it yourself and you're going to end up worse than you were. The other application is a saved person. You got saved. God cleans your house. But after you got saved, you never decided to figure out, well, what is my life? And you just bounce around, saved, stand up. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me, and it was on a Wednesday. You got a day, you can stand up, and you know God saved you, but you ain't done nothing since. And you kind of just dwell in there. And the devil lets you dwell there long enough till he comes by with enough temptation, enough desire to move back in and drive your life crazy. And then you go out of the church and say, well, they weren't saved. Hey, that's God's business. Some of them were, and they went back to the filth of this stinking world because they never let God move in and consume their life. Void, empty. That's why he talks about putting off the old, but you better put on the new, right? Hey, don't walk in the flesh, but you better walk in the spirit, amen? Hey, we ain't going to do neither one. We're just going to kind of ride the fence. But sooner or later, you'll fall off. Your life wasted with no purpose. Hey, you know what? Listen, think about it. A drifting boat always drifts where? Downstream. You ain't a salmon. Some of y'all know what salmon do. Hannah looked at me like, what, preacher? Salmon are fish that swim upstream. You know? Hey, we're not salmon. We're just drifting boats. And if you drift, if you don't drop an anchor, when you don't know what you're doing until God does something and get out the paddle and start going upstream, we are just going to constantly drift downstream. Most Christians' lives are just drifting. We just sarah, sarah, we float and go, you know. Yeah, you floating, and the more you floating, the more you going down. And for long, you float enough, or you miss Sunday school, or you miss Sunday night, and you miss Wednesday night, you just floating. There ain't no purpose. There ain't no need to read your Bible every day, because there ain't no purpose in daily reading. There ain't no purpose in your prayer life. You just a floating. And you go float long enough down that stream till you get out in that big old ocean and get out there and look around and think, man, how can I get back to shore? And a lot of people are out there on the sea of life floating around and ain't seen daylight in days. Because they never got any purpose in this life. For what is your life? You're not going to accidentally serve God.
Amen.
You better get some purpose. Life is wasted when we live it without purpose. Within you and me that'll say the grace of God and the potential to do great things lies right there. Hey, you saved, you got the same spirit in you that resurrected the Son of God from the dead. That's the power in every child of God that is saved. The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in us as believers, and the potential to do great things lies within us.
Yeah, amen.
Some of it just wastes away. Never used. Life. Solomon said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. How many times have we heard over and over again, hey, when there's no vision in your life, you know what happens? Progress ceases. There's no going forward. There's no vision. There's no desire. Hey, potential fails. Hey, the waste of the way life of what could have been. No vision. And people perish. The world around us is going to hell without God. And we're just living our lives. What is your life? What do you like? Meditations. For he that, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is your associations? Who do you dwell with? Hey, what is your life's influences? Amen. He says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What is your life? Listen. If you're here today or watching today and you're lost, best thing you can do is bow right where you're at, come down this altar, whatever a work, man, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ and get born again and get a purpose for your life.
Amen.
If you're here and you're saved and all your life is on the fence, I'm talking about, listen, let the Holy Ghost ask you, what is your life right now? Your life, what is it? If it's anything but a life surrendered to the will of God, it is being wasted. And if it is not surrendered to the will of God, what you need to do is lay your life on the altar today and say, God, I know you saved me. I am thrilled to death that I am your child and I'm no longer going to hell. My name is written down in heaven. But I want you at this moment to take my life and use it for whatever you want. The potential is there. The greatness can be performed with you in my life. What is your life? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I believe some decisions need to be made today. I believe we need to get off the fence. It's either your life or it's his life. One or the other. Yours or his. Matthew 16:23 says this. Let me read it to you as some of you are moving. He says in Matthew 16:23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. He said, Peter, your problem is you savor the wrong things.
Yep.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man, that's anybody, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is your life? Is it God's or is it yours? If your life has not been given to God, why don't you get out of that pew, come put your face on an altar and say, God, here is my life. I don't know why in the world you would take it, but you told me if I'd offer, you would. And I want you to take my life, whatever's left with it, only you know. And I want to give it all to you till you take me home. People are praying and you need to move. Come on. Don't you leave this place lost without Jesus Christ in your heart. Ain't nobody trying to get you to clean the house up, man. You need to come and ask God to move in and move the devil out. Let him save you today. If you are saved, give your life to God. Stop wasting it. It's just a temporal time. We're going to look up and this thing's going to be over. The Bible says, whatever thou findest thy hand to do, do it with all thy might. Because the grave's coming. We're here for His glory. Life.